temos que... Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. There.
Okay.
You want to put it here?
More to it?
More to
me? Is that fine?
If you rotate it a little bit, that way. Yeah, I think we're... That seems good, right? Yeah, that's good. And let's do a cell phone check. You can see that all the cell phones are quiet.
Plus
the
phone.
Baby has a little switch.
Phone switch in there.
Excuse me? Do we need translation? No, I think everyone knows English.
What is it? What is it?
Yeah, everyone is okay. English is okay.
Yes.
All right. Om Gyana Tiniranjasya Giranjana Sharakaya Chakshur Nilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kata Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Shakrashatam Shagana Raganatam Pitamstam Sajivam Sadhaitam Savatutam Krishna Sevam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shagana Bharita Sri Vishakantatam हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्ताकांश नवगौरी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये Vamsha kalpatarubhyascha kupasindhobhya eva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
A little water for me.
ancestors. Interesting topic to think about. To understand who our ancestors are, first we need to understand who we are. Generally, I'm thinking that I'm Mr. Smith, I'm Mr. Jones, I'm a member of this family, I'm a member of this country, and that's who I am. This is my father, this is my grandfather, these are my children, these are my brothers. But according to the Vedic sages, this is who we are not. This is who we are not. Because that identity as Jones or Smith, as father or son or brother, has to do with this body. And we're not the body. The body is like clothing, something we put on and something we take off, something we change. We have one set of clothing that wears out, we put on another set. That wears out, we put on another set. Body's like that. We get a body, it lasts for a while, a lifetime, and it either wears out or gets broken up or something happens to it. And we have to leave this body. Then we take another body. Different family, different, maybe a different country, different part of the world. And then we wear that body for some time, and then we go on and take another body. As in my real identity, I'm the consciousness within the body, or the conscious self, the person within the body. I have thoughts, I have feelings, I have desires. Those don't come from the body itself. The original source is from the conscious self within, or the soul within. That soul is the real identity. That's me. And the body is the covering of myself. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna had to fight with many family members. It was a war between within a family. And he said to Krishna, how can I fight against these people? They're my family members. But it was Arjuna's duty to fight. And Krishna pointed out to him that actually these are not your family members, because you're not the body. Only because of the body does it appear, this is my brother, this is my cousin, this is my this, this is my that. So when we speak of ancestors, it gets to be a very complicated picture, because ancestors in which lifetime? I have ancestors from this body, ancestors from a previous body, I'll have a different set of ancestors in the next body. There's a story about a king, Maharaj Chitraketu, who had very much desired to have a son. He couldn't get a son. Finally he got a son. And then the son died. Just as a child, the boy. It's a long story. But the boy died. And the father was grieving, the mother was lamenting, everybody was just hopelessly crying. And then two sages came, Narad Muni and Angira Muni, two great sages, and visited the palace. And they saw what was going on. So they went up to the
to the boy, the dead boy, and said, "My dear boy, why have you left and gone to the kingdom of death? Don't you see how your mother and father are crying over you? Why don't you come back to life?" They were very powerful sages, so they had the ability to call the child back. So the child came back to life, the soul of the child re-entered the body. And the boy said, in which lifetime were these people my father and mother? In which lifetime were they my father and mother? I'm not the body, I'm the soul. And I'm traveling from one lifetime to the next, one lifetime to the next. In which lifetime were these my father and mother? You see? We identify for a short time with this body so strongly that I think that the body is myself, I think I'm old or young or black or white or thin or fat or whatever it is. But this is not who I am. And the connections with the body, the family members, the country, the home, are also just as temporary. So the same question that the boy asked, in which lifetime were these my father and mother, can be asked when we think about ancestors. These were his immediate ancestors, his mother and father. But then there's previous, their father, their father, their father, their father. But the boy said, "I've moved on. So, can we really say that you're my father and mother? And were your father and mother my father and mother? My ancestors, were they my grandfather? Were they my great-grandfather? Maybe in the life that I had, but now I have another life." When we talk about ancestors, it's a very, even when I talk about my immediate predecessors, my mother, my father, the relationship is temporary. This is my grandmother, this is my great-grandmother, my great-great-great-great. But it's all connected to the body, and I'm not this body. There's another way of looking at ancestors. The ancestors are those who went before us, in previous generations. And there's another way to look at ancestors. There are also spiritual ancestors. Spiritual not in the sense of ghosts or anything like that, kind of spirit, but in spiritual life. Everybody gets a body, everyone gets a father and mother in relation to the body. But the spiritual teacher is like the spiritual father. When we come under the guidance of a person who gives us spiritual knowledge, when we accept a spiritual master, then he's our spiritual father. And then his spiritual master becomes our spiritual grandfather. And then his spiritual master. For generations and generations. Until finally we come to the original spiritual master. That's Krishna, God himself. Actually, if you trace either way, if you trace through the body
my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and so on. You go back far enough, finally you come to Krishna. He's the father, Pitanam Masyudhirito, Matatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatat
beings. Or if you go the other way and trace spiritually, the spiritual father, his spiritual father, his spiritual father, again, finally you come to Krishna. So either way you trace, finally you come to Krishna, the ancestor of all ancestors. The oldest. Purana Purusham. The oldest person. So the Vedic sages say that we should especially try to get the blessings of our spiritual ancestors. His spiritual teacher. And their presence will be felt by their instructions, by their message, by their spiritual sound, which is coming to us over the generations. Materially, from our ancestors, we inherit this body. But spiritually, from our spiritual ancestors, we inherit the spiritual knowledge. That spiritual knowledge is simple in one sense, simply to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we're all His servants, and that by acting in service to God, our life becomes perfect. By understanding that we're not the body but the soul, and that we're part and parcel with Krishna, our life becomes perfect. The let's see what else I need to say. Our physical ancestors have been dispersed in different directions, because just as we're traveling from lifetime to lifetime, they're also traveling from lifetime to lifetime. The person who in the previous life may have been my grandfather, now he's in another family, in another country, in another life, having taken another body. Then again, he may go to the next body, the next body, the next body, the next body. Similarly, his grandfather, his grandfather, his grandfather, his grandfather. All traveling from one lifetime to another. So you have all of us who are traveling, and we come together as family members, like people who are traveling. You know, they may be doing business or for some other reason traveling. We're all traveling in different directions. And at night, various travelers come together, say, in a hotel. And during the day, everybody's running around. And at night, they come from all their directions. Maybe they've been driving many miles. And they come to a hotel, and they stay the night. And maybe for that night, they get together with the other people in the hotel, and they have some sort of they have some conversation, or they watch the soccer match together, or whatever it is. And then they all go to sleep, and the next morning they all get up and go again their separate ways. So they're all together for one night, and then they're all in different directions.
always like that with our family members for however many generations. We come together for some time. And then we disperse. Or like in an ocean, the way there's so many things floating, and sometimes some of the things come together and float together for a while. And then they break up again, move to different parts. So this is going on. But while we're floating together, I think this is my family. And it floats apart, you know, relationship is gone. But with Krishna, the relationship is eternal. And with our spiritual teacher and his predecessors, the relationship is eternally preserved through transcendental scent. I think I'll stop here and see what kind of questions I might have for you tonight. Only one more thing I'll say about ancestors, and that is that generally we're all traveling from body to body, but sometimes someone gets trapped in ghostly life, or even a hellish kind of life, you know, some sort of a karmic trap, or a situation which is a situation of great suffering in this material world. And if one of their descendants becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, then that person is free. Not only that person, actually all of our descendants. If someone becomes a pure devotee, then not only does he become liberated from material existence, but his forefathers are also liberated for many generations, because Krishna is so kind to his devotees. Okay, there I'll stop and see what kind of questions you might have this evening.
Okay.
The question is, as you say, that when one has a spiritual master, so when that spiritual master, when he passes on, does he transfer you as a disciple to another spiritual master, or what's the situation?
Good question. When the spiritual master passes on, does he transfer us to another spiritual master, or what's the situation? The spiritual master remains our spiritual master, and he's not gone. We continue to have his association. We continue to have his guidance. How is that? It's by sound. The spiritual master is present in two different ways. One way is physically. You know, he's with us face to face. And the other way is by his sound, by his teachings. He's with us in both ways. But physically, he's with us only for some time. Physical presence is temporary. So he may be with us for a week, a year, many years. But physical presence is not forever. But the sound vibration is eternal. So when we remember the instructions of the spiritual master, then the spiritual master is present to guide us always. So there's no... So he's eternally there. Does that answer your question?
We'll figure it out
the
time.
We'll
come. So for let's talk about it. Okay, he woke up in the
corner. He woke up.
Okay. Evil days.
Evil days.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this on the side.
This is on the side. And when you have my spiritual master, Sako.
Right.
Yeah, SMC Lana and the email and the Rangers. And my problems are now.
Right now, your physical contact with the spiritual master is quite manifest. So you are able to interact and communicate with the spiritual master right now, so you are able to access the instructions to guide you from your day-to-day practices. So he wants to know that, you know, at that level, what happens when the spiritual master is gone?
Something like flying an airplane. You know, you learn with someone flying with you, and then after that, you have to keep those instructions with you and fly your own plane.
If he hasn't completed the course of instructing you to successfully charter your own course,
yeah, then there are others who may help you. In the community of devotees, there are other students of the spiritual master who've understood the science, and they can guide you. They can guide you. Or the other contemporary, like that. The other devotees who know the science can help you. They don't teach something different from the spiritual master, they just teach you the same thing.
Do we meet that side?
Okay. So the question is, as I am right now trying to dedicate or try to spend more time getting more involved in Krishna conscious activities, so, and also some, maybe one or two of my family members are also trying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we pass on, do we meet wherever the future takes us? Can we still meet as we get normal just yet? Yes,
always.
So is there a possibility of meeting my family members somewhere in the future, whichever the future, this part of Krishna consciousness takes us?
There may be. But our, by Krishna consciousness, our sense of who our family members are changes. Now my family members are the person with whom I have a bodily relationship. this is my wife, this is my husband, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my cousin. These are my family members. But by spiritual realization, one comes to a different sense of who our family members are. Those who are connected with Krishna, of course, all living beings are my family members. And Krishna is the father of everyone. Everyone is my family member. But especially those who are devoted to Krishna, who are recognizing the family relationship with Krishna, they're especially my family members. So in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual world, those are the family members that I most want to be connected with. I may have family members in terms of the body. That's temporary. But the relationship with Krishna and the relationships in relationship to Krishna are eternal.
Thanks, quite understood.
Thank you. Yes?
Sorry, Maharaj. As you're saying that our souls pass on to another life, when do you get to go to Godhead?
Someone passes on to another life, when does he go back to Godhead? When he becomes fully Krishna conscious. As long as we're attached to this body and to the home and to the family members, we have to keep coming back because of our material attachments. But when we become completely attached to Krishna, then we go back to Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, we come to these different families that we come into when we come into this life. Is there something in that relationship that we have with our parents? The fact that we choose to come into the family, for instance? Something there?
We choose or it's chosen for us?
Well, is it chosen for us? Okay. Is there something in that situation that could be a relationship that could relate us to our parents? I mean, what relates us?
There's a relationship to our parents in terms of karma. Suppose it's my karma. You all know what karma is, yeah? Then according to my previous activities, there's some result. You put your hands in the fire, you get burned. You do a good deed, you get a good result coming back to you. And the karma can stretch over many lifetimes. So in that sense, karma becomes destiny. The things that I do determine my destiny, determine what happened to me next. So suppose it's my karma to be born into a rich family. So then, a rich man becomes my father. Suppose it's my karma to be born into an educated family. So then maybe a family of a professor or a learned judge. Or maybe, all sorts of different, whatever my karma is. It's my karma to be born in a family of thieves. Or a family of scientists. Family, some of these things. So there is a reason. It's not just that we're all sort of scattershot, as they say, just sort of just distributed with no plan, no reason, no just arbitrarily by chance, all thrown in different directions. Everybody's placed precisely in a particular family. Particular family, particular country, according to previous karma.
Particular everything, there's no randomness.
Doesn't happen. There's a reason for everything. Is that okay?
That's very okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, and we have two questions in the back, actually. Yes, I agree. Regret.
So, okay, let's say you're born into a family of thieves, right? But you become a devotee. So, what happens then?
What happens to you?
If you're born into a family of thieves, but you become a devotee.
Yeah, I got that part. Then what question? What's the question?
The question is, what's the situation there?
What's the situation?
Concerning karma.
Oh, okay. Suppose by karma I'm born into a family of thieves, but then suppose I become a devotee. What's the situation of the karma? Karmani nirdhati kintu jubhakti bhajan. The situation is that when someone chants Hare Krishna and becomes a devotee, then his karma is practically erased. Just the only karma left is the present karma. On account of my past karma, I've got this body. Well, that's not erased. But all the rest of it is practically burnt up. Whatever was supposed to happen, maybe I was supposed to be a thief, and then maybe I was supposed to go on and become a thief and a murderer and a this and a that. But by Krishna consciousness, all that karmic reaction can be erased. So that when one is fully free from karmic reactions, one goes back to God. Okay? This karma is bondage. We're tied down to a particular kind of misfortune. Even to be rich is misfortune, because I have to be in this material world and be rich. I have to go through birth and death, whether I'm rich or poor. Any birth in this material world is a kind of misfortune. But one can be freed from all misfortune by Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? There was a question? Did you have a question?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, you have to be real loud, louder than the babies.
I'll try. Yeah, my question is, according to your culture, what do we have a sinner who are so called sinners? So if they are, where do they go? According to pass it from one life to another. What happens to them?
Did you hear?
I'm Christian. You've got sinners. So if you're a sinner,
yeah.
Where do you go?
Where does a sinful person go?
Like,
he was
a sinner on one life. If he
passed
on to another,
okay, a person's a sinner in one life and then he passes on to the next life. Where does he go? According to the nature of his sins, he goes to the next body, which may be in some sinful situation. He may be born in a family of... He may be born... in a family of drunkards, he may be suffer from disease. Sometimes a child is born diseased. We say, why? Where is God that this poor child is born diseased? No, it's out of his previous karma. So there are various kinds of misfortune into which one may be born. From one point of view, any kind of situation is a kind of bad karma. And everything we're doing is sinful. As long as we're acting for ourselves, whether it's so-called pious or it's so-called sinful, it's really sinful. Sin means acting apart from Krishna, acting apart from God. The whole world is acting sinfully. When we act less sinfully, then it's called pious. You know, when I follow the laws, when I'm decent, you know, I don't steal, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't do anything to hurt others, then this is always a very pious man. When I cheat, I lie, I steal, then they say it's sinful. But either way, as long as we're forgetting Krishna, pious or sinful, it's all sinful. So, accordingly, we're born into different lifetimes. Maybe born in a rich family, highly educated family, so that's the result of pious work, but still it's sinful because I've taken birth. And birth itself is a kind of suffering. So, by Krishna consciousness, one gets free from the results of pious or sinful activities. By very sinful activities, one may take a birth as an animal. That's possible. Or there are lower planets called hellish planets, where suffering is many times, millions of times more than on this planet. That's also possible. But by chanting Hare Krishna, one can be freed from past sinful reactions. The only requirement is that we shouldn't think, well, now I can chant and get free from sinful reactions. So I can do some sinful things and then chant and then wash off the reactions. Do something else sinful and chant. That doesn't work. But the sincere person who's trying to revive his Krishna consciousness can be freed from all sinful reactions simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Is that okay? Yes?
I'm sorry, if like you're not a full devotee, so then you pass on into another life, but you don't pass on into a family of devotees, and you forget all about Krishna consciousness, how do you like...
Someone's a devotee but not fully a devotee, and then he passes on, he dies, but not in full Krishna consciousness. So maybe, he may be born then next time into a family that's not a devotee family, and he forgets all about Krishna. So then what happens? That's explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that whatever Krishna consciousness one has acquired in one lifetime, whatever advancement one has made, that's permanent. So that what happens? He may be born, if a person is practicing bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, and he doesn't finish it, he goes part way. In his next life, he may be born in a family of intellectuals, or he may be born in a rich family, or in some other situation in which automatically, in time, he becomes attracted to Krishna consciousness, or the attracted to the principles of bhakti yoga, automatically, as if, you know, practically helplessly. Automatically he becomes attracted, because it was there, and now it's coming out again. His progress is not lost. So then he picks it up, he continues, and if he practices seriously, then he can finish. Why are some people automatically attracted to Krishna consciousness? It means they cultivate it. You're here, hearing about Krishna consciousness, chanting Hare Krishna. It's a sign that in your previous lives you must have practiced spiritual marriage and opportunity to continue. The Prabhupada used to tell us that in this life we should finish our business and go away. Something else? Yes?
This might be kind of like a weird question, but it's based on the mode of worship in Kali Yuga. So from my preaching, it's often that I've found out that people are worshipping sort of like lower creatures, like our ghosts and preachers and other stuff, like even nagas or like serpents. So is this going to be dominant as Kali Yuga progresses? I was going to find that they do this in a hidden way. Like,
people are worshipping ghosts, or people are worshipping serpents, or people are worshipping other lower creatures.
So the question is about, in genuine religions, the so-called genuine religions, Christianity, Islam, I also find some cases of those things.
But even those who are supposed to be Christians or whatever, they also sometimes may do that. So then the question is, is that a symptom of Kali Yuga?
Yeah, is that gonna, was, I found out that is it the fifth canto, like in the first time of Charapanaraj, that religion is gonna be like the Vedas are gonna be covered, and there's gonna be like a religion covered.
Yeah, as Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, advances, and all sorts of rubbish will be practiced in the name of religion. Just like there was some yogi. Not even a yogi, some supposed spiritual teacher. He died, now he's dead. But he enjoyed popularity for some years, especially in the West. And he was teaching that, just follow whatever you feel like doing. Don't, your problem is that you're repressing what you want to do.
Let it out.
Whatever it is that your heart's telling you to do, go for it. So if you want to have sex with your sister, take your hand off that stop button and just let it out. You want to smoke ganja? Why not? You want to do this? Why not? You want to do that? Why not? And that he was going on as a spiritual teacher. Just means degraded people who wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. They thought he was the greatest thing in the world because he was teaching them what they wanted to hear. So in Kali Yuga, there are all sorts of cheaters like that. Some of them, we could outline all the rubbish that they put forward. But in Kali Yuga, it's cheating religion. Becomes very common. Even leaving aside things we see in churches and other religious institutions that the preacher is sometimes just basically offering material prosperity. God doesn't want you to be poor, God wants you to be rich. And just have faith in God, and you'll be rich. It's a material promise. But people think that just to be religious, for the sake of getting some material prosperity, that's religion. I must be, I think that's religious life. Of course, to have faith in God for any purpose is good, but to be pushing this material prosperity or material health, I had warts, but then I turned to God, and now my warts are gone. God consciousness is not for curing warts and getting ahead financially. It's for getting out of this material world and going back to Godhead. It's about devotional service. Is that okay? Something else? Okay. Shall we stop here, Mr. Effendi? Tell me what to do. More kirtan?
Yeah, maybe more kirtan.
Okay. Who's the kirtaniya?